Welcome to Season 7 of Game Design Unboxed on the No Direction Network. Daniel Reynolds talks to tabletop game designers about the games they've made. Together, they unbox how the game went from inspiration to publication.
Allplay is headed to Gen Con with a ton of brand new titles, including Mountain Goats Legacy, Enchanted Ivy, Jibbler Jabble, Stock Market, and Phantom Inc. They are hosting some amazing tournaments and will be announcing some incredible new projects at their super special mega announcement event, which you can find details on the Gen Con events page for. So don't miss it. Make sure to visit their booth at Gen Con and say hello and check out their awesome new titles. Thank you for joining me, Danielle, for Game Design Unboxed, Inspiration to Publication, episode 146. Chuin Chuin. Today we are joined by Ona Muin, board game designer and founder of Brainy Hardy, a board game studio based in Seattle. Also, the co-founder and CEO of Everjoy Global, a company with the mission to bring Vietnamese board games to the global stage. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Daniel. I'm really happy to be here. I have been a fan of your show, so this feels a bit surreal to be sitting on the side of the microphone. Thank you.
I love hearing that. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, this game is super cool. When you kind of came up to me and asked about being on the show, I started researching it. I know I do a lot of global travel, but not everybody does. So I'm excited to talk about this game and kind of like where it comes from and the materials it's made from. But before we get into that, how did you start playing board games and getting into designing?
So I started playing board games since I was a kid, and back home in Vietnam, we didn't have a lot of options for games. We played mostly Monopoly, you know. Then when I went to the States about 8 years ago for my MBA degree and started working after that, I did play a lot of games. I started becoming a board game designer almost 3 years ago. Before that, I spent like most of the time working in the tech and business strategy, first in Vietnam, and then when I went to the US, I had an MBA and then joined a tech company. But on paper, it sounds like, you know, it's very far from board games. But throughout all of that, I always loved games, especially games that bring people together and create meaningful interactions. And at some point, it really clicked. Everything I loved about my professional life, as a system thinking strategy or building something from scratch, could actually live inside a board game. And after a decade of building other people's visions, I decided I want to go for it. Like, I want to start my own business, and I found my passion for board games, so why not starting a board game studio? And that's how Brainy Hardy, my first board game studio, was born in February 2024, and Everjoy Global later in October 2024. But yeah, so that's how my journey started.
What made you decide on those names?
Oh, the name of Brainy Hardy? It really captures my mission for the company. So Brainy is a strategic, thoughtful side. I want our games to give players a satisfying feeling that their choices matter when playing. But Hardy is a warmth and human connection. So, you know, the laughter, the friendly rivalry, the moments when people lean in and form, you know, alliance, or they learn about each other through playing games. I truly believe that when you play games, you show your real humans. And so I believe games are one of the most powerful ways to build connection. And I want, every Brainy Hardy games to do both of, you know, the Brainy and Hardy side.
Oh, I love that. My friend teaches in China and brought my game Caution Signs to like help her students learn English. And I thought it was so cool how a party game that I wouldn't have guessed would be used in that way is getting used that way. So it's like, it's really awesome when it starts to grow beyond what you imagined when it came out. And then for the game that we're talking about for this episode, Chuin Chuin, how did you come up with this game? Like, where was the inspiration for this?
Yeah, so Chuin Chuin is actually in Vietnamese, it means dragonfly. And it is the game is inspired by the Vietnam's traditional balancing dragonfly toys. They are small handcrafted dragonflies. They are usually carved from bamboo and painted in bright colors. They are made very cleverly that they can balance and just sit on your fingertip or on a bamboo stick. without falling. So it feels like magic. And I turned that idea into a life strategy game where players catch colorful dragonfly pieces and arrange them on bamboo trees. Where the ideas came from is an interesting question. So there's actually a story, a long story behind that. But in short, it started when I went back to Vietnam and visited Thạch Thất. So it's a village known for making traditional bamboo dragonfly toys. And I went there just looking to buy some chuan chuan, the dragonfly toys. But then I met a craftsman named Tai, who is considered as a founding master of the craft in the village. So he started, you know, making dragonfly toys like 20 years ago and built that village. He told me a story that, you know, the number of workshops that making bamboo dragonflies had dropped dramatically over the past 20 years from many families back then, but now just only two or three still carrying on the tradition. The reasons is that, and it is heartbreaking, because nowadays, like children in Vietnam have so many other options for playing, so imported toys or video games. So handmade folk toys like chuan chuan are just disappearing from Vietnamese home. And also because making one of the dragonflies is really so challenging and difficult, you know, it's extraordinary skill. The craftsman has to select the right bamboo, treat it, carve it, balance the body, and tune the wings. All of that to make the dragonflies balance itself and it can sit on a fingertip. So it takes months or sometimes years, a brand takes it to get it right. So the craftsmen have to learn a lot and practice a lot to make it right. And so it's highly technical, deeply patient craft, but it's not an easy way to earn a living. Is sell cheap in Vietnam actually, because people perceive it as a, you know, it's a handmade choice, it's popular in Vietnam, but it doesn't really sell at a good price for those craftsmen. And that's why fewer and fewer people are willing to learn doing it. But what really struck me is that every time I brought the dragonflies abroad, people would stop, you know, and pick them up, you ask questions, look at them, like admire the toys. To them, it felt like a premium handcrafted object, something really rare and beautiful. But again, back in Vietnam, like, most people see the dragonfly toys as a simple, ordinary children toy. And that made me realize how much beauty and cultural values we sometimes overlook in traditional Vietnamese objects. So when I make the board game Chuan Chuan, the inspiration is that I really hoped to give the bamboo dragonfly a new form and a new purpose. So take it from just a folk toys or casual decoration in Vietnam, and turn it into a modern board game. Kind of like give it a new use case, and gives those beautiful objects more reasons to be made, to be played with, and to be cherished. I wanted, Chuan Chuan to celebrate that craftsmanship and introduce a piece of Vietnamese culture to international players through gameplay. And with that, I just hope maybe, it can help Vietnamese villages like Thạch Thất to keep the craft alive a little longer. And more people will make Chuan Chuan, more people will play Chuan Chuan. That's just my wish.
That is amazing. I remember as a kid, I had a balancing toy, but it was an eagle that someone had carved. And I'm guessing it was done in maybe a similar way. But I do remember having it and keeping it for years. Like, it might still be in my parents' house. But I'm guessing someone probably went over there and like saw the Chuan Chuan and was like, oh, I'm going to make a bird version and make it American.
Right. And it's just a note. So Chuan Chuan in Vietnam is made in bamboo. So it's actually really, really delicate and very hard to make it. And bamboo is eco-friendly. So when you say about maybe the eagle cell balancing toy, I do believe they are made in plastic. Some Chinese factories, like they know, you know, how to make a self-balancing toys with plastic. But Chun Chuan, the dragonfly toys in Vietnam, is much more unique because it's handmade in bamboo. So there's no factories can produce with bamboo, you know, at scale. So it's really, really unique. It takes time for the artisan to learn and make it. And it's a very eco-friendly material, durable, very durable, and light and beautiful. When you look at it, you can tell the ones that made in bamboo is super beautiful.
So when they're balancing it and carving, I guess, does adding the paint sometimes stress it or like change that balance to the point where they have to like continue tweaking it? I'd be curious if you know that.
That's true. Yes. So the process is like when, so first they have to choose the bamboo, they have to treat the bamboo so that it can be durable. Then they have to try to carve it. They stick the wing to the body and continuously tweak it to make it balanced. So they bend the wings and the body separately, and then they stick them together.
That is really cool. And so how did you create a board game then? Like, how did you add the paper to these bamboo toys?
Yeah, let me think a little bit. So for this board game, maybe I can walk you through how the game works first. It's a game of collecting and arranging dragonflies to match secret objectives. And each player will have two objective cards. Each shows a specific combination of dragonflies by color and size and position on the bamboo pawns. And so on your turn, you either collect dragonflies from the shared pool, or you draw objective cards or magic cards. Then you put your dragonflies on your bamboo trees. And then, and this is where it gets fun, you can play magic cards to rearrange the dragonflies. And it actually, like, that's the only way for you to rearrange dragonflies. Like, once you put the dragonflies on the trees, you cannot move it freely. You have to play magic cards. The magic cards allows you to, you know, either lift the dragonflies up or down a level, swap pieces, you know, between your trees and your opponent's tree. And as soon as you arrange the dragonflies on your bamboo trees, matching the objective cards, you score points. And this game, like, you know, it supports 1 to 8 players, and you can play either competitive, cooperative, or solo. It's strategy, family friendly, so very core. The more you play, you realize that you have to be, you know, very creative, or you have to think out of the box to make clever combo of playing object, magic cards, and to match the dragonflies based on your objective cards. Yeah, I think I'm kind of like talk a lot about it.
No, it's really cool. Just like the table presence is amazing on this game.
Right, yeah. But so if come back to your questions about how did I make them, right? It just started when I have the idea of, you know, bringing dragonflies into a board game. And there's a saying in Vietnam, which means, like, it's a by nature laws, when the sun rises, the dragonflies flies up, and when there's rainfalls, the dragonflies fly down. And I took inspiration from that saying, and I incorporate, you know, nature laws into the games. You know, so I design the magic cards around nature's laws. Like, you know, when we play a sunshine card, then every players have to lift their dragonflies up one level. Or when we play a rainfall card, everybody has to moves their dragonflies down one level. And so it creates, you know, very high tensions, you know, high player interaction. It makes the game so fun. Like, people have to try to attack each other, but also protect their trees. They move the dragonflies around and trying to score points. So this is super fun when, you know, we try to make it feels real, like your dragonflies move based on the nature's change. But we also give players the control, and they have to think both logically and creatively, to make meaningful moves.
Is there any punishment for the dragonfly being dropped?
Oh no, yeah, but yeah, a lot of people ask me about that, but I feel like. It's a skill game, like logic game, so strategy game, so I don't want it to be
punishing on dexterity.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I mean, that makes sense. And did you have any like major changes while you were playtesting the game?
Oh yeah, I did. So I think the most important feedback I got when I brought the game to major board game conventions and demoed the game, got a lot of people played and give me feedback. I think the most important feedback was around accessibility. So specifically, it's color blindness. We kept noticing that, when a player boards because they mix up your two dragonfly colors, or some players told us that they were unable to distinguish, is this red or blue or the orange and red looks kind of similar, or something like that. We discussed with the team internally, and we do believe that, when we're making Chuan-Chuan's, we want the game to be accessible and enjoyable so everybody can play, and this has been a core goal for us. So if even a small moment of confusion was happening more than once, it felt that it was taken seriously. So we decided to dig into it properly and try to resolve that issue. So in order to make the game more colorblind friendly, and because this game is mostly about color, you have to match the dragonflies based on their colors and size. So the colors really matters. So in order to make the game more color blind friendly, we ran our designs through CVD simulators. Is a tool that show you what your visuals look like under different types of color blindness. And we found two compounding problems. So most of 7 dragonfly illustrations use similar wing patterns that blur together at card size. The real dragonflies, like the dragonfly toys, it's easy to distinguish, but when you look at the card and the dragonflies on the card, it's much smaller. So it's harder to distinguish. And so those colors are set a similar brightness level. So when color information was stripped away, everything collapsed into indistinguishable grays. Those the fix involved adjusting specific colors for better brightness contrast and redesigning certain wing patterns so players could use shape, not just color, to tell dragonflies apart, and cleaning up the card layout overall. We did write up the whole process as a designer diary on our blog, partly because we wanted the community to weigh in, to learn how we did it, and also give a feedback on what we did. We actively invited players who experienced color blindness to test the new versions and to make sure that we got it right. Then we release, a new batch of dragonflies that color bright friendly already. And we already made it, and we'll release it very soon. So accessibility again, it is just a box we want to check, but it's an ongoing conversation, and we want all of our games, you know, to have the optimal like accessibility. That's something we will definitely pay attention in the future to all of our games.
I think that's amazing. I know from just looking at a picture of your game, you can see the double coding between the different designs on the cards, but also the different patterns you put on each of the colored dragonflies. That really does help when you do that. And that's something that I know newer designers maybe don't think about as much. And as they start to move forward, they're hopefully partnered with publishers that do. But especially when you are someone who's creating a publishing company, that's excellent that you picked up on that due to playtesting.
Yep. Of course, yeah, playtesters are really important. Like, we learned a lot from them. Like,
yeah. How do you decide which pieces of feedback to keep versus which to let go of?
So normally, like, I think I am a very logical person. And so whenever I got a feedback, like, I try not to take it personally. Like, I keep, you know, my emotion aside, and I try to focus on the root cause of the problems, what's the true problems that makes that person feel this way. I mean, sometimes like playtesters are very excited about their game, they are very enthusiastic about giving feedback, but their feedback is around the solution. But sometimes solutions may work or may not work, but I don't really like focus on the solution, but I focus on the problems, because I do think if we truly understand the root cause, the problems, we may have many different solutions to that problem, but if we don't realize the cause, the true problems, like we don't realize the problems like correctly, then the solution just doesn't make sense. Yeah. So first of all, like I always focus on analyzing like why that people say this way about the game, and what makes them feel that, or what is the true problems here. If they propose a solution, I definitely will consider it, but I will always like brainstorm and get about at least like 3 to 5 solutions to the same problem, and then consider what is best solution to that problem. Yeah, so that's a way I analyze and solve a problem.
That is really interesting. And so then when you were working on manufacturing this game, because they are based off of a handcrafted toy, are these handcrafted or were they created in a factory? Like, what was the process for that?
So the bamboo dragonflies are 100% handcrafted. So there's no big factories, there's no mass scale production for these games. So it's all made by Vietnamese artisans, so it takes them weeks to months to produce a batch of dragonflies toys. And so we have to connect the Vietnamese dragonfly toys workshops with printing shops. So they do different things. So the dragonfly toys workshop, they make the handmade dragonfly toys only. We ship the dragonfly toys to the printing shop in Vietnam. And so at the printing shop, they package the dragonfly toys into the game. So they bring the cards, the rune books, and put everything in a box. Yeah, so that two steps for productions.
That is so cool. I love the fact that you're helping keep that culture alive and that craft, because it's so sad to go. Like, I've traveled quite a bit and I go to places and a lot of handmade crafts are no longer a thing. A lot of tourists are like, oh, that's so expensive when I can just buy a printing. But I feel like keeping it alive is really nice. I grew up in Flagstaff, Arizona, so I had a lot of friends that were Navajo and Hopi. And so I was a huge fan of like Navajo rugs and stuff. And so we'd like learn how they were made. And it just like kills me a little bit that a lot of those crafts are no longer being done. And how long do you think it took from that initial inspiration to having the game published where people could play it?
So it took me roughly like 6 months to make the games, like from the concept to first prototype. But to April 2025, so last year when I visited Vietnam and came up with the idea of bringing the Vietnamese dragonfly toys into a board game, it took me another 3 months to work on my ideas and finish the first prototype. And once I had the prototype, I tested it with friends, family members, and I went to some board game for play testing sessions with some strangers. But yeah, I worked on it for 3 months. And then after kind of like several play test sessions, and we changed the game quite a lot during that time, we finally decided on versions that we were most satisfied. Then we met, we ordered Dragonfly Workshop and the printing shop to make about the first 100 copies of the game, and we brought it to Essen Spiel last year. And you might think it's crazy, for a very first game, a very first prototype, that we brought it immediately to Spiel Essen, and it is the largest board game convention in the world, and the price for the booth there was super expensive. But yeah, I just thought that it was a chance, a very big chance for to showcase the Dragonflies toys, the Chun Chun game. And I actually had to talk about my role as a CEO of Everjoy Global, because that company's mission is to bring Vietnamese board games to global stage. And Everjoy Global has a really good reputation in the community. Like, we created board game competitions named Road to Essen. And so we try to find authentic, original game designs from Vietnam. We wanted to cherish them. We wanted to bring them to Spiel Essen to showcase Vietnamese creativities to the international audience. And that's how we created the Road to Essen competition. And so at that time, we invested in the booth at Spiel Essen, and we showed around five games from Vietnam, the winners of the Road to Essen competition. And we also showed games designed by Evershire Global and also by Brittany Harty as a partner of Evershire Globals. And since Chuan Chuan is a game that really embraced the Vietnamese tradition. So that's why, even though we had only 6 months to make the game, but we were confident and we were very ambitious that we didn't want to miss the chance to showcase Chuan Chuan at the biggest board game convention of the world. So that's why we were really very hurried to make the games within just 6 months, and brought the prototype to Spiel Essen. And at the show, we were overwhelmed with the positive player feedback and response to the games. People loved it, people light up to try the games at the show. It gave us a lot of reassurance that, okay, people love it, love the concept. People was amazed by the Dragonfly toy, so our bet was correct. That's the story how we brought the games to Spiel Essen.
Yeah, I feel like that's such a bet that you're edging, and I'm glad that it paid off. It's also amazing that you have this road to Essen. It's so hard for a newer designer to get anything made, especially in countries that don't have as big of a community as the United States does. Because we do, we have a ton of gaming conventions. We have a ton of board game designers. I know on my podcast, it tends to be a lot of North American designers even though I try to add different international designers as well. But that's great that you're creating that accessibility and trying to make those connections so some of these games can come over to the US or Canada or just other locations throughout the world. So for me personally, games are great because it is about building community. It's about like those social interactions. But I love passively learning about other cultures through games or like historical events. You never stop learning as an adult, and that's a fun way to learn.
Right. Yeah, totally agree. I want to say more about our mission and what we do and why. As you said, we really want to become a bridge between Vietnamese designers and the international audience. And it comes down to something I believe deeply. There's no shortage of creativity in Vietnam, but what we lack is the connection. We as Vietnamese designers, we have a lot of rich materials. So the local folklore, mythology, history, or tradition, all of that are beautiful materials that can be brought into games. But we also, as a game designer, we have a lot of barriers. We don't have direct connection to international publisher. We have language gaps, unfamiliar with global supply chains, and also the financial cost. That's a big barriers for us to attending major conventions like Spiel, Essence, or in US ZenCon or PAX. But yeah, the Vietnamese board game scene itself has grown over years and at a very remarkable pace. Then now we, when we organize some initiative like the Road to Essen competition, we realize that there's a lot of talent, a lot of aspiring Vietnamese board game designers and entering the competition. And that's why we really want to serve as a bridge between them and the global stage. That's why we're doing all of this.
That is an amazing goal, and I hope it continues to grow and people start to see more of Vietnamese culture through what you guys are doing, but also just what the individuals are doing as well.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Going back to your game, I'd be curious, like, what was your favorite and least favorite part of designing Chichuan?
This is not really a favorite part, but I mean, I enjoy the whole process, like, totally. Because I think maybe because it matters to me that the game is inspired by Vietnamese culture and it has a very deep personal and cultural dimension. And so when I design it, it keeps reminding me that, I'm making the games to represent Vietnamese culture. This is like a way for me to express who I am and where I'm from. So every piece of that, like, I take very seriously. Like, I pay attention to any details, every details of the game. Like, for example, even the buttons on the dragonfly. So all of the wing patterns, the body patterns, they draw inspiration from Vietnamese folklore paintings. I have to find an artist, a Vietnamese artist, that's famous for drawing Vietnamese folklore paintings. So, and I asked him specifically, to think of like what materials that we can bring to the design. So we take materials like the nature or the rural aspect of Vietnam. So we have some pattern which imitates the rain or the water, or some patterns imitates the rice field or the flowers. So all of them stem from Vietnamese rural landscape. It's really like every details of the games. We try to make it right. We try to make it rich, culturally rich and beautiful, and globally appealing at the same time. It's another challenge that we really have to solve, is to making sure We try to make sure that the games is both culturally rich but globally appealing. The materials of the games, like the components, traditional Vietnamese toys, the patterns, the designs, they have the cultural aspect, but the gameplay must feel approachable, like very easy to learn, and the gameplay should be enjoyed globally, so everybody can feel is resonate and can play with it like easily. It's hard to make that balance, but it's something that we try to do, and we pay attention to every details of the game to make sure it can be both culturally rich and globally appealing.
And it's a great note that trying to make sure a game feels culturally appropriate, but also makes people interested in other areas to want to play it, and accessibility as far as the rules difficulty. It's all great points. For games that you have coming out, I'm assuming you're working on more games. Do you have any you want to highlight?
So for Brainy Hearty, my vision for the company is to focus more on game design rather than self-publishing. I do feel that it's better for me to focus on my design skill, design process, rather than, you know, trying to do everything from manufacturing to logistics to global distribution. That's a lot. And marketing also takes a lot of time and money. And as a still an indie publisher, I do feel like we want to focus more on studio part. So we want to focus on making games rather than, you know, producing the games. So for the near future, like, we will try to create more game ideas, more game concepts, and we will partner with bigger publishers to produce the games. So I have a lot of new games in my pipeline. So I have a game that named Slot Squad. It's a game inspired by the slowest animal on Earth, which is slots. And so in the game, like, everybody will become a slot. So you speak things, saying things like slowly. And so this game is like everybody will be dealt a card, and there's a phrase on the card, like two-word phrase or three-word phrase. And on your turn, you can only read one word from your card. So you say the first word of your card, and then the next person says the third word of their card, and then go on and back to you. You say the second word of your card, and the next one also says the second word. And one by one, like, everybody will take turn to say just the next word on their card. And so once everybody finished, that's the round finished. But during that round, at any time, if you can guess the full phrase a person is saying, then you can slap a card at the table and you say the guess word. And if you say it correctly, like, the phrase would be something like sing a song or hit the table, you can guess correctly, you say hit the table, and that's the exact phrase that they are saying, then you get the point. But yeah, so it's a game, like, everybody will say their phrase one by one, one word at a time. You hear overlapping, you get confused, but it's super chaotic, but super funny and more challenging than you think. And we play tested it a lot, and we saw that people get crazy about the game. That it's really a fun way, a wicked fun way to play. We think we can launch the game later this year. And another game that we plan to launch is Street Kings. So that game is about street football. And you know, so this year is World Cup is happening in the stage. And so we do believe games that relates to the World Cup team would be very, very appealing. There's definitely an audience for that game. So we want to create a game about street football culture.
Very cool. And then to everyone who's American, it's soccer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In American, it's soccer. And yeah, this game is a card drafting, but deck building games with a boost your luck mechanic. So it's going to be super fun. Yeah.
Oh, very interesting. That's awesome. And then for my last question before we wrap up, if you could have designed a game you didn't design, which one would you choose?
If I wish I could be the designer of that, Agricola. Yeah, it's a really good game and it's my favorite so far. I really admire the designer like Uwe Rosenberg, but I also, you know, I really like the mechanics of, you know, worker placement, and I think this game is like a pioneer for that mechanics. And so, you know, I just love it so much that I wish, you know, I would have been the designer of that game. Yeah, or a co-designer. I feel like if I could have a chance to partner with Uwe to design that game, this could be awesome.
Oh my God, yeah. Definitely one of the greats. Well, thank you so much for everybody who's been listening to this episode of Game Design Unboxed, Inspiration to Publication, episode 146, Chuen Chuen. And thank you again for being on the show. For anyone trying to find either of your companies, where can you be reached?
Yeah, you can look up our company at brainyhearty.com. So let me spell it. B-R-A-I-N-Y, so Brainy, and H-E-A-R-T-Y, so hearty.com. Yeah, so brainyhearty.com.
Sweet. And then I've been your host. I'm Danielle Reynolds. If you're trying to find me on my personal social media, you can find me on Instagram under Token Gamer, spelled G-A-Y-M-E-R. And then at Game Design Unboxed under Instagram and TikTok for those fun short form videos I've been posting. And if you're looking for me as a designer, always go on BoardGameGeek or my personal site, dmrcreativegroup.com. Thank you for being on the show. This was awesome. And I'm so glad I got to learn more about Vietnamese culture and fun toys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for joining Danielle for another episode of Game Design Unboxed, Inspiration to Publication. If you'd like to hear more great gaming podcasts, check out nodirectionpodcasts.com. And if you're looking for a great board game, bag, playmat, or table, check out All Play at letsallplay.com. Join us next time.